Hello and welcome to the Coin Buds, your podcast for numismatics, currency collecting, history, and economics. I'm your host, Alon Landau. Let's begin. Hello, everyone, and welcome again to the Coin Buds, your podcast for numismatics, information about currency, coins, banknotes, history, and economics. Our subject today is the coin with the smallest value in Western country to this day, the cent. To be exact, we'll focus in this episode on the American cent, a coin that doesn't get all the credit that it should. Its low value and the fact that today you can't really buy anything with a single cent gives it that low esteem, but the coin holds a fascinating history. The coins depict the entire American history, all the way from its formation in 1776. Let's start with the fact that the original name of these coins was not cent. The original name was penny. And this is how it was called throughout the history. In fact, the first penny was struck some 1,200 years ago in the 8th century. The word penny is also quite different from country to country. For example, there's the German penny, which is called Pfennig, with an emphasis on pronouncing the letter F. There's also the Swedish penny, which is called a penning, with an emphasis on pronouncing the letter G at the end of the word. And more examples like these from other countries with the penny as the original small value coin. In fact, Britain is the only country that specifically named their coin a penny. In the United States, which we'll talk about shortly, the coin was named penny for many, many years. And the reason for that, the reason they named it that way, was due to the influence from Britain, the mainland from which many originated from. But in these early days, when the original American pioneers were looking to conquer the new land, one of the main things which were done was the constant effort to differentiate themselves from Britain, and that is why the name cent was presented. Let's see how the cent touched every stage throughout the history of the United States of America. The penny, or the cent, was the official first coin which the United States struck in 1792. But 5 years prior to that official coin, there was another coin, and that coin was titled as the original real first cent. These first issued coins by a US authority, which were made of copper, were named Fugio Copper, or Fugio Cents. These cents were struck in 1787 by a private mint, and the coin, as specified by its name, Fugio Copper, was indeed 100% copper. The coins have been credited back to Benjamin Franklin, and the coin, therefore, had sometimes been referred to as Franklin's cents. But it was also called sundial cent, ring cent, and mind your business cent, and I'll explain about that shortly. A sundial was depicted on one side of the coin, the obverse side, with the sun above it, and the legend Fugio, which means I fly, or mind your own business in Latin. This was also accompanied by the date 1787. The other side of the coin, the reverse, featured 13 connected chain links to represent the original states, with the word embedded United States and the motto, We are one. As we said, though, the official coin is the one that was eventually struck by the US Mint, and that is not the Fugio Copper coin which we just explained about. The US Mint started coin production in 1793, and the 1 cent coin was among the very first coins struck during that year. The copper cents were minted in late 1793, with over 11,000 cents delivered on that same year. The first pennies struck at the US Mint were made of pure copper and were much larger than the modern 1 cent coins that we know today. They're called large cents, and that's of course because they're pretty large and close to the size of a modern American half dollar, and of course weighing much, much differently. These first cents were hand engraved and were named the flowing hair cent. The obverse shows a youthful bust of a wild-haired Liberty facing right with long flowing hair. The motto Liberty can be seen above with the date below. The reverse side of the coin has a circular chain with 15 links representing the number of states in the Union. Within the chain is the value 1 cent, along with a fraction 1 divided by 100. The word United States of America can be seen around the border of the coin. These chain cents were not really popular with the public. Many thought that the chain links, that were meant to symbolize strength in unity, reminded some of slavery. And because many people associated the chains with the chains of slavery, the design had to be changed. By the way, today chain cents are among the rarest coins. So if you manage to get your hand on one of those, it's definitely a keeper. Eventually, production stopped for the chain coins. Just about 36,000 pieces were minted, and the design was, of course, replaced, as we said, with a similar Liberty bust on the obverse, and on the reverse side of the coin, the 15 chain links were actually replaced by a garland surrounding the value of 1 cent in the center. Within that 1 cent area, the specific fraction of 1 divided by 100 below the garland was also noted, and what's better known as the wreath cents. Before continuing to the next cent, which was minted, I want to point out something interesting which is relevant to the word itself, the word cent. A cent, as we all know today, is 1/100th of a dollar. In other words, there's 100 cents in one single dollar. But the word cent comes from the Latin word centum, 100, which means that the combined word percentage, actually holds the word cent within. So there's a clear link from the word cent to the word percent, and the indication of the fraction value of 1 divided by 100 actually makes sense throughout the coins and the relevancy of its name. So that's a little bit something that I wanted to note about the name, and let's continue with our story and the historical timeline of the American coinage. The Liberty Cup large cents were presented between 1793 and 1796. They are the next design succeeding the chain and wreath cents that began the new coinage early in 1793. The obverse of the coin shows the head of Liberty facing right with flowing long hair tied with a ribbon. Behind her, we can see a cap. The cap is a symbol of Liberty dating back to ancient Rome, where such cups were actually worn by a liberated ex-slaves. And the coin is also quite unique and sought after by many, many coin collectors today. The draped bust large cents were the next design made between 1796 and 1807. Over 16 million coins were struck, and it depicted Liberty with flowing hair and the ribbon behind her head. The clothes she was wearing is flowing as drapes on her neckline, and that is why the name was given to that particular coin, the draped bust cent. All design aspects of the inscription on the reverse of the coin remain fairly the same, so there's really no need to review that. The draped bust coin was replaced by the classic head design of 1808. The obverse design of that cent was left-facing portrait of Liberty with curly hair tied with a headband, and that was actually quite important as people using the coin really wanted to see a more formal Liberty, which was exactly what was presented here. Miss Liberty is surrounded by 13 stars, 7 to the left and 6 to the right, with the date of the coin inscribed below her. The coin reverse side carries the statement of the value 1 cent within the continuous wreath. And that is quite important as this is the first cent that did not show the fraction of 1 divided by 100 on the coin itself. One important note that should be made about this particular coin is that in 1815 there was a shortage of copper. And because of that, No coins were actually minted on that year in 1815. The copper shortage was actually caused by the War of 1812, the war with Great Britain. And this is the only year missing a cent from 1793 to this present day. Shortly after the classic head cent was introduced in 1808, critics pointed out that the headband on Liberty's head is not being worn by women in classical times. The new coronet design cent featured an enlarged head of Liberty. The headband holding the hair on the previous classic head series was replaced by the coronet, and the word Liberty was added to it. The reverse was essentially unchanged and retained the Christmas wreath of the 1808 design. And just a side note to that, the coronet type cent is also known as the matron head cent. 1839 was the last design with the large cent applied. The name of this design was the braided hair, and it was active up until 1857. The obverse of the coin shows a bust portrait of Liberty wearing a coronet with a crown that inscribed with Liberty, surrounded by the traditional 13 stars with the date below. The new cent was introduced in 1839, as we said, but it was modified slightly in 1843 and continued in production until large copper cents were simply discontinued altogether in 1857. In fact, by the mid-1850s, it was apparent to mint officials that the large copper cent, which were struck since 1793, were too cumbersome and unpopular, as well as increasingly uncomfortable and uneconomical to make. So the US Mint gave serious thought to replacing these large cents with a small coin. And indeed, in 1857, they released a smaller penny with a totally new flying eagle design. On May 25th at 9 a.m., the Mint doors opened to a crowd of over 1,000 eager Philadelphians with their bags of small change. They were just waiting with their old coins to exchange all the old pennies with the new shiny new issues. The demand was so great that many resold the new coins on the steps of the new mint for a profit within minutes after receiving them. This particular cent featured a flying eagle on one side and a wreath on the other, earning it the name the Flying Eagle Cent. Unlike older, larger versions of the American penny, the Flying Eagle cent was about the same size as today's coin. After 64 years, the old large cents were replaced by the Flying Eagle small cent, which were released to the public in exchange for an old copper and Spanish silver. The mid-19th century was an intense time in American history, and during this time, the Indian head series of the cent was struck. The new cent introduced the Indian head, or to be exact, the Indian princess, and there were many stories to who is the image on that coin. But the latest research in this matter outlined a story that provides an exotic twist to the coin's history. The coin was designed by James Barton Longser, and many historians claim that the image on that coin, that of the Indian princess, is his own daughter, Sarah Longser. And throughout the years, this raised some questions. And in one of the numismatics organization meetings, a woman claimed that Sarah Longser was her grandmother, and that she is indeed part of the Longser family. And she told a following story which became known as a tale of historical background to this particular unique coin. James Longser was a chief engraver in the United States Mint in Philadelphia. In 1835, a competition was opened for sketches and engravings for the new copper cent that was to be issued. There were over 1,000 designs offered. The prize was a good one. Longser racked his brain for some original design that would strike the judges. But for months, he had failed to satisfy himself. One morning, a number of Native American Indians, with their chief, came to the city to visit the mint. They were introduced to James Longser and his young daughter, Sarah. the old Indian chief was simply attracted by the sweet, innocent-faced girl and her interest in the feathers and paint on his face. The chief then placed his feathers on the girl's head, and the effect was so striking that the father, James Longsir, took the time to make a sketch of that same image. James Longsir thought that the mix of the Indian feathers and the Saxon sweetness is a great sketch. He enrolled this in the competition for the new coin design, of course, and he won. So the Indian scent depicts the Indian princess, but in all actuality, it's a white Saxon girl in a Native American Indian custom. The era of the Indian head scent was alongside the American Civil War. Most Indian scent minted during the Civil War went primarily to pay Union soldiers. Because of war-related costs, the mint decided to switch to a much cheaper bronze substance. After the Civil War in 1864, the composition of the 1 cent coin was changed to 95% copper and 5% zinc, and the weight was reduced by a third, resulting in a thinner coin, much like the cent that we know of today. The Indian head cent remained in use for half a century before giving way to the Lincoln cent. In 1909, the United States commemorated the 100th birthday of President Abraham Lincoln. To commemorate that, a new penny was struck, the new Lincoln penny. President Roosevelt considered Lincoln as the savior of the Union, the greatest Republican president, and also he considered himself as Lincoln's political successor. He hired a personal designer as a skilled engraver, who was a friend of Roosevelt's, and he designed the coin that was commonly known today as the wheat penny, because the reverse featured two stalks of wheat. The wheat cent design was coined until 1958, when the reverse of that actually changed to the memorial design. Abraham Lincoln was the first historical figure to be on the U.S. coin when he portrayed the 1 cent coin to commemorate his 100th birthday. The Lincoln penny was also the first U.S. cent to include the words, "In God We Trust." The reason of this sentence also links to the American Civil War. During the Civil War, a couple of Protestant priests appealed to the U.S. Mint to add a sentence that will note God's name in the coins and notes. The idea was to claim that God was partly responsible and engaged in the efforts of winning the war from the Union side. Somehow, they managed to convince the Mint, and after several sentences that were reviewed, the sentence, "In God We Trust," was chosen. This motto was then made to be the official sentence on all of the coins and notes in the United States. But this motto holds issues. It's clearly against the First Amendment, which depicts separation of church and state and the need of freedom of speech. Those against it claim, maybe rightly so, that the American Constitution, and I quote, "shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion." With that, then the motto on the bills and the coins creates a religion-based sentence, which acts exactly opposite to the First Amendment. The motto clearly creates a belief in God on the state-approved currency. So how does this apply with atheists, for example? And what do they believe in? And another reason. This sentence comes from the Bible. And if so, then the motto respects a monotheism belief towards believing in one single entity, God. And this view does not take into account other religions like Buddhism and Hinduism, which holds beliefs of more than a single God. So is it true one union under one God? I'm not really sure, but either way, this is the official motto of the United States, "In God We Trust." In the 1940s, another war broke, and that led to another coin change. In 1943, there was an urgent need for copper to make weapons and arms for the war effort during World War II. That year, the copper was removed from the penny and zinc-coated steel cent were made for the first and only time in history. The 1943 cent was nicknamed Steelies. These coins caused confusions because they were closely resembling the dime. They also rusted and deteriorated quickly. So in 1943, these Steelies took part in the US coinage, and by changing their component, they took part in the war effort of World War II. A very important point from a numismatics point of view is that in 1943, the move from copper to steel, the mint created a small portion of coins with the 1943 date struck on them in copper. That was a fairly small amount, around 40 coins, and it was immediately stopped, of course, but some coins were somehow released, and these coins are very, very rare. The same thing happened in 1944, where the mint created some steel coins, while their substance should have been copper, and these are also quite rare. So, when going over a pile of old coins, you might want to search for these years. It might be worthwhile. The year 1959 marked the 150th anniversary of Abraham Lincoln's birth and the 50th anniversary of the Lincoln cent. The US Mint celebrated these events by giving the cent a new reverse design depicting the Lincoln Memorial. The design was made by Frank Gasparo, and the design itself was selected out of 23 different offers. Underneath the Lincoln Memorial, the motto "I pluribus unum" was set, which is "We are one" in Latin. Two interesting things about this particular design, which is pretty difficult to see. In the Lincoln Memorial, you can actually see the statue of Abraham Lincoln in the center. It's fairly small, but with a good magnifying glass, you can actually see it. Another item is that at the lower right-hand corner of the memorial, you can actually see the initials of the designer, the name FG, Frank Gasparo. A lot of people don't see that point, but it's quite interesting to actually see it and note that it's there. In 1982, the price of copper dictated a change in the composition of the Lincoln penny. Because of the rising copper prices, the US Treasury authorized the usage of copper-plated zinc as the composition for the 1 cent coin. That compound is what the cent holds until today. The 200th anniversary of Lincoln's birth was a great time to commemorate Lincoln again over a new cent. The coins that were minted issued in 2009, and they had four different designs on the reverse: birth and childhood, formative years, professional life, and presidency. Each coin, which supported each of these four times of Lincoln's life, had specific design, which we will look at now. In the birth and childhood coin, the design featured a log cabin, and that is to support the cabin where him and his family lived in Kentucky. The formative years, which were in Indiana, featured Lincoln reading while taking a break from a rail splitting. The third coin, his professional life in Illinois, shows Lincoln as a young lawyer standing before the Springfield, Illinois state capitol. And lastly, the fourth coin, presidency in Washington, D.C., shows a half-completed Capitol dome from the time that Capitol building was built. In 2010, the design was changed again to its current state, and it's now showing a Union shield with 13 stripes, along with the sentence in Latin, "We are one." It's important to mention that all the designs, all sizes, all related to the same value, the cent, which means that for over 235 years, the small cent has continuously lost its value. And as such, there's an awakening in the past years to the questions of, should the cent be even continued? would it be right to continue to strike such a minor coin in a world that is getting increasingly more expensive? Maybe it would be right to round the cent to the nearest nickel. And there are countries that did exactly that. For example, Canada. Canada slowly removed their penny in 2013. To this date, the penny is no longer in use in Canada. The solution that they found was actually quite simple and fast. The idea was to round the value to its nearest 5 cents. But it's not just rounding it up. There's a clear logic to that process. So, if the payment stood at a cent, or 2 cents, which means 2 cents past the decimal point, so it can be $1.02. At that point, you would round it down to a zero. On the contrary, if the payment is 3 or 4 cents, then you would round it up to the nearest 5 cents. With that logic, there's no need for a cent or a penny value. All the payments are rounded up or down, and the total cost will, on average, stay the same. Another claim to the removal of the American cent was its cost. The cost of a single cent today is 2.1 cents for every single coin. I'll say it again if it wasn't clear. 2.1 cents for every single cent, so double its value, which actually doesn't make sense and definitely not economical. And yet, the American Treasury struck 14.5 billion cents in 2021 alone. The Mint tried to find another metal to make the cent from, but there was really no alternative to the current substance that is being used. By the way, to make a nickel, the 5 cent, cost about 8.5 cents, a clear economical loss as well. How can that be? How does the Treasury approve such a loss? Well, it's not like they didn't try to fix it, but they encountered direct opposition, an organization called the American for Common Sense. The American for Common Sense is an organization based in Washington, D.C., and it actually lobbies in favor of keeping the United States pennies in circulation. It was established in the 1990s, and during those years, it had conducted surveys and organized advertising campaigns in supporting the continuation of production of the penny. For example, remember the rounding to the nearest nickel? Well, the opposition was pretty high on that one. There is still a large section of the public that respects the value of a cent and what would be the outcome of the item if the cost was not, let's say, $2.99, but actually rounded up. That expectancy to receive the cent in return is higher than you think. Most people, at least in the United States, would rather have something cost $2.99 and not $3, because it sounds better. In addition to that, most of those who are opposing the round of a dollar argued that by eliminating the penny, it would lead the retailers to round prices mainly up, not down, leading to inflation, and these will affect the consumer price index, something which was proven to be wrong, of course. Another claim is that by removing the cent, the honor of Abraham Lincoln will be removed as well. But that claim is also wrong, as Lincoln is proudly presented on the $5 bill. So he will not be forgotten from history, of course. Despite other claims to the logical elimination of the cent, still more than 51% of Americans today supports the American cent and its activity. So from what we know, the American cent is here to stay. The cent, as small and low in value as he is, was and will remain part of the American story, history, and future years. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Coin Buzz. You can view the images of various cents throughout the years on our Facebook page. Join me again for more episodes in the subject of numismatics, currency, history, and economics. Goodbye.